Welcome to Burning Out Hell.
Okay, I've been chasing this interviewee for a while. I've been manifesting. If you're into PR moves, if you're into marketing, if you're into coming up with creative concepts, this is our messiah. I have the queen here, Robin Del Monte. When she gets a little more famous, she's going to go as Del Monte.
Yeah.
Welcome to Burning in Hell.
Thank you so much. When I get the blue check mark, it'll be Del Monte. Like, yes. That's, we'll, yes. We'll switch it then.
I'm Bernair.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a huge fan of you. Oh, and I think what you've been doing is incredible, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But I love your straight interviews. And I feel like you've been adapting really well to, like, all the new social media outlets and how you can put your comedy out there, Giggly Sweat out there, and Burning in Hell out there. You're doing really well.
Oh my God, I love that you started the interview talking about me because that's my favorite thing.
Yeah, no.
I'm similar to you in that, like, I'm an idea person. Mm-hmm. I love coming up with ideas mm-hmm. and just throwing it out there. And I think that's why I was addicted to your content, because you are just like full of nonstop, incredible, different ideas that you just throw at the board. And I think it's really inspiring. Do you ever get nervous that people are going to judge you and be like, that idea is stupid?
I just don't go on Reddit because
that's a really smart thing.
Is my fan, the fan, non-fan club of Girl Lost Town who says these ideas are stupid is basically Reddit. But I don't really care because they're not getting paid to come up with ideas. I am.
Yeah.
And I also think that, like, if the most successful people in life, at first, their visions weren't being understood because, like, it was out of the box, but that's what made them successful. So it's almost like if you can't understand the vision or don't like it, that's completely fine. That just means I'm being, like, an innovator and doing something new. And hopefully the people who are in charge of coming up with these campaigns and casting them, like, will like them.
So for people who don't know in depth what Robin does, she comes up with, well, actually, can you explain it better than me?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Because I don't want to butcher your art.
My craft. Okay, yeah. So basically,
I love your work.
I come up with creative direction, PR moves, PR predictions, basically everything that has to do with pop culture. I take that knowledge and then I put it into, like, marketing and branding terms. So for example, I'll be like, here's a Super Bowl commercial ad for Uber that I just came up with. Or, like, here are PR moves for Hannah. Mm-hmm. And I just list what I think they should do creatively, brand-wise. And the very first one I ever did was PR moves for Madison Beer. I was so yes. hungover on my couch. I had, like, mascara dripping down my face. And it was one of the ones where, like, you just throw it up. I didn't think anything of it. And then it just kind of blew up in the sense where people were commenting, do me next, do me next, do me next. I wish that happened in my dating life, but it doesn't. But then I just started making all these PR moves, videos for these celebrities and brands. And then brands and celebrities started taking notice. And we started to monetize it in the sense that now I do creative consulting on the back end and forward facing. I do a lot of work with, like, pop culture and traditional brand deals. So it's been a whirlwind. I just started fully doing this in January.
I literally have chills. This is the kind of stuff that gives me life.
Yeah.
And I have TikTokers on, and I'm not saying they're not incredible because they are, but you are a unique style of TikToker where you're actually taking your, like, 9-to-5 gig and you're still doing it, but just, like, the way you want to, using a modern day platform.
Yeah.
But your story is so fucking good in that the classic, like, you were applying for jobs.
Yes.
I just have to repeat what I heard on one of your TikToks. You were applying for jobs. No one was hiring.
No.
And now in resumes for PR jobs, they say, we want girls who follow Girl Boss Town.
Yeah. Which is just crazy.
Shivers down my spine.
Yeah. I could not get a marketing job in Boston. I was working at, like, insurance companies doing, like, email chimp marketing campaigns. Just, like, so not creative.
Yeah.
That didn't pay well. And I was applying to these massive companies in Boston. I couldn't even get an interview. Mm-hmm. And now I just saw somebody last night at this event, and they're a Gen Z marketing firm, and their interview process, or, like, they don't take resumes. Instead, they say, make a Girl Boss Town TikTok. That's, like, their application process, which is
You're
just
like the face of
wild.
Modern PR.
It's insane.
But I also think you've shown, probably so many girls didn't even know they were interested, and now mm-hmm. they'll get inspired by you. Because sometimes PR is just crap.
Yeah.
Like, And I'll, you know, if we like look at, sometimes I feel like you could do your own PR better than like someone who like got you an article in Bustle or like that kind of stuff. But also even commercials as a comedian, because I used to make a lot of branded content and I still do for myself, but I used to work for Betches actually.
Yeah.
And I used to make creative videos for them, which was so fun for me. And then you'll watch stuff on TV and I know it's cable and I know there's a lot of restrictions, but I'm like, is that the best campaign they could have done?
Sometimes I watch things on TV and I'm like, it's somebody's job to like make this and it has to go through so many rounds of people watching it and I'm like, and that's what they came up with.
Or it started probably really good and then it gets so fucking watered down.
No, 100%.
By some higher up who was like, we need to use this concept because it was approved by the big guy.
No, exactly. And kind of going back to like inspiring like what PR is, I grew up watching The Hills, obviously. Same. And everybody wanted to work for Teen Vogue. Everybody wanted to work in fashion.
Yeah.
And now I feel like this generation is looking at TikTokers and influencers and being like, oh, I want to be an influencer. Mm-hmm. I want to switch that narrative and be like, to inspire girls, guys to want to work behind the scenes, to want to be creative and like show that side of things, which I love because growing up watching The Hills, it's like it inspired you to do that. I want to inspire more people
to
get into this industry.
Would you have gone to Paris?
Yeah, I would want to say yes. Now, yes, 22-year-old me, maybe not, especially if they were like a Virgo or a Sagittarius. But like, that's like a whole other story. And I've never left the country, which just shows how addicted to men I am. But I'm going to start traveling now.
I'm obsessed. The cool thing about our job is that we can travel. Like, we don't have that 9-to-5. However, because we don't have the 9-to-5, we don't have vacation days, which means you can work yourself into oblivion.
Yeah.
So that's like a kind of thing that you will start navigating.
Yeah.
What was that first Madison Beer campaign, if I may ask?
So I think that Madison Beer is very interesting in the fact where like she will always get hate because of the way she looks and not because she's ugly, but because she's beautiful. So I always say like when somebody's extremely beautiful and talented, you need to give more depth to them because people are going to hate them regardless of what they do. So I think the D'Amelios did an amazing job with their Hulu show, which then switched the narrative because you got to actually see who they were and what it's like to be them and not just judge them from the outside. So I think that she needs to do more docuseries type shows to show off her talent and her personality and not just being a pretty face. And then there's some other, like, I wanted her to do a paper magazine cover, just other things like that. But as a consumer like you, I feel like, what you were saying before, all of these people in these boardrooms being like, no, the campaign needs to do this, no, the campaign needs to do that. People need to start tapping native creators to be a part of that process because we see somebody like Madison Beer and we know what we want out of it, but these people in the boardrooms don't.
There is that disconnect, and I think you are almost like bridging the gap of knowing how to like verbalize what the campaign should be, because like I totally agree with you. I heard Madison Beer sing like twice and every time I've been like, holy shit, she's good. Why do I not know that? Like, why is she not everywhere? And it's fascinating. Now, how have you used your own PR knowledge of helping everyone else help you with your own career path?
So at first I used to try to come up with like strategic moves of what I could do to get ahead in this industry. And none of them worked. So I was like, maybe I'm not a PR guru. But the more that I just like stayed true to like who I was and was, every time I post a video, I think if I was scrolling in my bed, would I stop and listen to this?
Yes.
Like, would I stop and listen to this right away? And if that's yes, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I feel like that's the right direction. I just try to think of it from the consumer's standpoint, but then also staying true to, like, who I am. And I feel like I've gotten so far from where I am in the industry just by being myself.
Yes.
So trusting that is really important. I feel like there's a bunch of different people in your ear at all times trying to tell you these things. But it's like my career is being myself.
Yes.
So I have to stick to that.
You have a unique way in your videos where I really feel like you're talking to me.
Yeah.
You know how some people, it's, you can tell they're like, hey guys, and you feel so disconnected from them. Like, I feel the same way right now than when I watch your page. And you come up on my FYP insane, so I'm definitely like your ideal demo.
Cute.
Not trying to compliment myself, but I am. But I also feel like I love the way that you talk about people's careers in a way of like, you're always shifting, you're always changing, how to evolve. Like, there's something really exciting about that. And it's funny, like, I just started doing these Man on the Street videos. I used to literally only post tweets on my Instagram. Like, my stuff has changed so much, but it's always been like something that, like, I've never, someone was like, why don't you start your own page of just tweets? And I'm like, because one day I'm going to wake up and I don't want to do tweets anymore and I know it's going to happen.
Exactly.
And I did it for a long time, but I knew one day I was going to wake up and things were going to change. Mm-hmm. And I love seeing how you see how other people can evolve and you like have the pulse of everything. Mm-hmm. Have there ever been brands that have literally been like, I'm going to do that?
Not necessarily I'm going to do that, but have reached out to work with me from like a consulting standpoint.
That's amazing.
Yes. That's like my bread and butter. And that's what I want to continue to do more of. And I feel like as the industry is evolving and as my career is evolving, it's so nice to see that brands are actually wanting to tap native creators like me to be a part of that process.
Yes.
Because at first, like, nobody's like, it's like, yeah, I have all these cool creative ideas on TikTok, but it's like, can she actually implement it in the boardroom? Like, is this something that we can actually apply to like our process? Mm-hmm. And as time has gone on, I've been working with brands and seeing what works, what doesn't work in that process. And I mean, my end goal is to just be on the creative side full time doing that. Mm-hmm. So it's great that I'm being given these opportunities, but it's also great that I'm doing traditional brand deals and things in front of the camera, because now when I do the consulting, I know what it's like from both sides.
Yes, and I love multiple sources of revenue. I'm not trying to stick with one thing, because you never know who's going to one day be like, oh, we can't do this. I know it'd be fucked.
I think you need longevity in the industry, and I think if you go into your career with the mindset of like, I'm going to take what's given to me right now and like utilize it to its full potential, but then always consistently have your long-term vision of having longevity in the industry on the back of your mind, then you'll be successful.
So in terms of like a day in the life of Robin, do ideas just come to you, or do you like tell yourself like, okay, we need a certain amount of ideas this week, or you scroll and do research for a certain amount of time? Like, is it structured, or is it more like fly by your pants?
So I have this cute thing called depression. It's like, I actually think it's on sale right now. But so when I try to force ideas,
I'm the same way.
I'm just so hard on myself, and I'll get into this rut of being like, okay, like, I don't have any ideas right now. Like, I'm a piece of shit. Like, I'm not, like, I'm imposter syndrome. Like, I'm not this PR guru or whatever, because I'm putting pressure on yourself, putting pressure on myself. And when your creativity becomes your career, there's so much pressure and weight. So I, within the first couple of months, I had to navigate that and, like, how I'm going to approach this with keeping my mental health in check. So I never try to wake up and be like, okay, I need this amount of ideas. But the less pressure I put on myself and the more just like sporadic and like it just comes to me and I put it out there and I pop it out organically and naturally, that's when things go well. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to take a break and to like not do it. Because I feel like as a creative, the best ideas I come up with are when I'm in a rut and just like shut everything out. Like when I'm in a rut, I'll go on a walk with no headphones, no phone, which is so hard for me because I constantly need noise in the background to distract myself from my thoughts. Vibe. But if I just go on a walk, no music, no nothing, and just let my brain like actually work and not be hard on myself, like that's when the best ideas happen. But I do wake up sometimes. The notes app in my phone is like my bread and butter.
Same.
So I just like write down everything in my notes app and then come back to it when I need to like pump out content.
I'm very similar. I also feel like with comedy, people can tell if you don't like the joke or if you like force a joke. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're excited about the idea, people can tell. Mm-hmm. And also with comics, we always say like sometimes you have to just live to get new ideas.
Exactly.
Like, it's not going to come when you're just sitting like, come to me.
Literally.
It's like when you're out with your friends and they talk about something and then you start like thinking or something happens to you. That's when I get my jokes.
Yeah.
Like with Twitter, I would never be like, okay, I need, it would always be like middle of the night and I'd be like, isn't it weird that? And then I just do like 20 in a row.
Yeah. And exactly what you're saying. Like you get inspiration just like naturally as well, like just throughout your life. But that's hard to do. Like when I feel like this career and like can also be a little lonely because a lot of my friends at home are like doing their traditional 9 to 5s and I'm just like in my apartment just like chilling there. So I have to consistently be like, okay, like get out there, try new things, like don't just like sit in your house and just like try to fester PR moves because it's like not going to be a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say it comes naturally. I do feel like people think I'm weird. It's kind of like a That's a Raven thing too, where like it'll just come to me and I'll be like, holy shit. Like, and I'll jot it down on my phone.
Well, you've had like insane predictions, I feel like. And I'm obsessed with that.
It scares me. So when I was in third grade, I got sent to guidance because I was reading all the kids' palms on the playground. And I'd be like, you're going to be a doctor. Oh, your boyfriend is going to dump you when you're 20. Like, I would just like tell my friends' futures.
Yeah.
And then they would go home and be like crying to their parents, like, I'm going to get dumped when I'm 20. But I always felt like I have such strong intuition. I don't know if you can relate to this. Like, when I was in class when I was younger and they'd be picking partners, to be like, okay, Robin's going to be with Hannah. Like, I knew that they were going to say Hannah. Like, I don't know if I'm like Teresa from the psychic show or like I just like am cracked out on Adderall. Like, I don't know what it was, but I could always just like feel people's energy and have strong intuition.
Yeah.
But with pop culture, my predictions, I think it's kind of like trend forecasting in a way.
Yes.
But then also some of it's just like weird. Like the Chloe one was the weirdest. Mm-hmm. I predicted the month Chloe was going to have her baby, the fact that she was going to have it with a surrogate, the fact that it was going to be a boy, and the fact that Tristan wasn't going to get involved because there'd be another scandal. And
that's scary.
It was
You're
weird.
Freaking me out.
And then Chloe, the day that started blowing up, Chloe went and like liked a couple of my personal Instagram photos. And I was like, I think this is her being like, I see you. Like,
and didn't yesterday she posted you?
Courtney.
Me. Okay, so they're obsessed with you.
I've had a couple of Kardashian interactions that have literally made me froth at the mouth.
But I mean, they love a PR move.
Yeah, they are a PR move.
They are a PR move.
Yeah.
But I do think there's something to be said about intuition. But do you think being someone who's intuitive and probably like sensitive affects like depression or your mental health?
Yes.
Like, how is your mental health?
My mental health right now currently is okay. I would never say great. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever felt great in my life, not in a depressing way, but I feel like I have the same big three as Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Gemini sun, Pisces moon, Cancer rising.
You're the same as Kanye?
Yeah.
Wild.
So I think that's why I'm very creative. I'm very outgoing, but at the same time, I'm so sensitive. I'm so nostalgic. I'm so in my feelings at all times.
What do you mean by nostalgic?
So I crave the past, and like I am always looking back at my childhood or even like things I did with my friends in high school, just craving what was in the past and not looking forward to the future.
And that is also depression.
That's also called depression.
The past, anxiety is the future. But I struggle with that too sometimes. But I also think it's the past is so rose-colored glasses.
It is.
Every situation is so rose-colored glasses. And then you realize, like, even though you thought you were having fun then, like, any hardship, I'll always be like, oh, before this horrible thing happened to me,
exactly.
I was so innocent.
Exactly.
I was so pure. Mm-hmm. I was so light when, like, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And second of all, I'm so much wiser now because of, like, the scars I have.
1,000%.
Like, that girl was an idiot.
Yeah. No. And,
like, so cute, but an idiot.
A little skinnier, but an idiot.
But I love that you said nostalgic. I've never heard someone talk about that as like a problem.
Yeah.
But you nailed it.
Yeah. And I also think that like what you were saying, like obviously it makes you stronger, but I do believe that because I think that I now have the perspective to know what it's like to like be in a really bad headspace and to go through shit. So even when I'm really worried about things or like so stressed, I have the perspective to know like, dude, like,
I've been through worse.
I've been through so much fucking worse. And like the reason I'm here right now is because that bad spot like literally put me where I was supposed to be for something good to happen.
Yeah.
Which is like a TJ Maxx sign. But like it's I think that's the truth. 100%.
I was going to say, how's your mental health now versus before you were TikToking?
So I feel like now it's a different type of struggle because before I wanted to be successful, I wanted to be financially dependent. Like, I wanted the things that I have now. And that's why. And then also, I had gone through some grief and trauma and I lost my mom. And I was just trying to figure it out. Like, I was felt like I was kind of like alone and like didn't know where I was going in life. And now I know where I'm going in life. And I'm so confident in that. And I'm so proud in that. But the pressure and me comparing myself to myself is what makes me struggle. So it's like, I've always wanted this. And now that I have it, I'm looking at myself being like, well, do I deserve this? Or like, should I be doing more? Like, it just like switches. Like, I don't
and
think
And that's the entrepreneurial battle. I experience all the time. And the little devils have heard it. Nikki Glaser gave me really good advice once because she says she suffers from imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And she told her therapist and that he was like, so you think you're so smart that you've tricked every single person to think that you're whatever you are.
No, exactly.
And she's like, no, you're right. Where it's like, you didn't trick anyone.
Yeah.
Like, no, you didn't ask for them to think that your content was incredible.
Yeah.
Which is super powerful.
Yeah, but and it's but it's also, I feel like, as women, we're raised to, like, not feel great about ourselves and to not be, like...
To nitpick everything.
Yeah, and also, just, like, for me to be, like, yeah, like, I'm fucking successful. Like, I'm smart. Like, I can do this. Like, if I walked around like that, people would be like, this girl is so stuck up. Like, she's so, like, naughty.
If you're a guy, you're just, like, an assertive
badass. But I... Even I talk to, like, the people I work with on my team. I'm like, I just have to own it. It's like... Yeah, like, I'm going to be confident in these business decisions. Like, I'm going to go into these meetings being like, you know what? Like, that kind of fucked me over. So, like, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Do you deal with a lot of men in these meetings?
Actually, like, I do work with, I think it's equal. I actually do think it's equal. Maybe even more women, which is great. But on some of, like, the more traditional companies that I work with, there are definitely more men.
Yeah, yeah. But it's good to see that, like, the things are shifting because the boardroom used to be like
dominated
by
men.
And now there's like the female voices and the perspective.
And I think also like a lot of like I am gravitated towards brands that are like run by women or like because that's just
it's not
you can tell. Yeah, you can tell. Yeah.
Did you come up with PR moves for me?
I did.
Can you spill?
Okay, I have a couple. So first and foremost, I think that you should write a comedy book called The Burn Book, like Mean Girls. And I think each chapter should start with a hate comment. Like, that's the name of the chapter. And you kind of, like, dissect that hate comment and, like, put your little comedy twist on it, but also, like, write about yourself and write jokes about it. You know what I mean?
It's so funny because I've thought of The Burn Book title, but I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I think it could be funny too. Yeah. Talking about like shitty things that have happened to me and making fun of it and like getting a lesson out of it.
Exactly. But each one starts with like a hate comment or a preconceived notion about who you are. Mm-hmm. And you kind of break that down in a funny way. You know what I mean? Kind of like celebrities reading mean tweets, but like that would be like the book. And it could be like a comedy book, but also talking about like the shit that you've gone through. You know what I mean? Because it's like The Burn Book is also in Mean Girls, it's everybody's like hateful comments about people that they are like judging just from like what they know on the outside, which I think has happened to you. You know what I mean? You can like kind of break that down.
I also love that you've noticed kind of my weird progression and stuff, because before reality TV, I was a comedy producer, but like people didn't know that really.
Yeah.
And then TikTok is like a very strategic thing that I do because Instagram was just full of reality TV fans. Mm-hmm. So TikTok gave me this new community that didn't know me from reality TV, and now like people see me and they go, oh my god, I love your stand-up, or I love your Man on the Street, and that's given me like a new life in terms of like what I feel like I want my brand to be.
Yeah, you can control that narrative.
Exactly.
Which is great. And speaking of TikTok, I love the stuff that you do on the street. It's like everything, but to bring like burning and hell on the street, you could have a segment called Purgatory, which is like where you go like to decide if you go to like heaven or hell, which in Catholic terms. But like you could interview people and call it Purgatory and decide like if they should be like burning in hell for their decisions or like go to heaven. You know what
That's
I mean?
Fun.
Which is like a cute little segment. And also, I just think that
your brain works so fast.
Yeah.
No, it's really good.
No, it's like stupid.
Like I would need notes for this. You're like the waitress that doesn't write anything down. You're
I
like,
didn't.
Can you remember that? Yeah, you're that girl.
Yeah, I grew up in the restaurant industry. My dad actually was opened up the first like dozen Outback Steakhouses. So like I
Shut up.
The Bloomin' Onion. Yes.
Oh, you are the Bloomin' Onion. Lots of layers.
Yeah, like I am exactly like Shrek and Onion. Like I'm the Bloomin' Onion. Literally, like I always tell people, I'm like, I was conceived in like an Outback parking lot. My dad got the call like when I was being born too. Like, I am the Outback Steakhouse. That's my vibe. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Outback Steakhouse energy. Mm-hmm. The last thing I was going to say for you is to like show off your personality and your comedy more from the perspective of thinking like these people do not know me from reality TV. Mm-hmm. Like, just keep on doing the career that you're doing, especially in comedy. I think that you have a massive career ahead of you. And I also think that like your past is so interesting, and that's something that you could write about like in a book format. Mm-hmm. But I think that like you don't even need to focus on that shit. Like, it's gave you to where you are today. Mm-hmm. But you're continuing to grow just from being yourself.
Yeah.
And to like focus on that. And also, I was saying this before the podcast, the Giggly Squad in Boston is literally, and your fans in Boston in general are obsessed with you.
Oh my God.
So you need to do more pop-ups and things in Boston.
Yeah, I feel like we're at this point where Giggly Squad was literally a hobby for us, which is kind of like with you, like posting on TikTok. We just, it came from, it was never a money grab. It was literally us just wanting to spend time together and talk shit during the pandemic.
And now you're doing an express campaign. You're like, it wasn't a money grab, and then it's like last week you're posting like in glam. Like,
I had one of these moments where I was like Paige was a child model.
Oh, like, limited two.
Limited two,
like,
you know?
That is the biggest hierarchy. Like, if you fucking modeled the limited two, like you,
we all looked at her probably while we were shopping.
She started my mental illness. Like, she literally,
it all goes back to Paige.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there and I realize, like, oh, it's not an express, like, you know, social media bullshit. Like, I'm literally getting a photographer taking photos of me in outfits, and they're not having me like make jokes, and I'm like, little Hannah would never have thought,
are you a model?
That I could be a fucking, I mean, supermodel. Some would call me supermodel.
I literally thought you were Hadid.
Yeah, I did put my hair in a slick back ponytail yesterday. It took forever. Worth it.
That.
A little headache at the end, but worth it. But I love how both of us are similar in a way where I feel like we don't have like limits as to like where our career can go.
Exactly.
And like both of what we do wasn't something that as a kid we could have written down and been like, this is my goal. And there hasn't been a steady ladder to how we got to where we were.
When you were growing up, like, what would you say you wanted to be when you were older?
A tennis player. Yeah. I always wanted to be a tennis player. Like, I went to the US Open this week and I turned to Paige and I was like, this is what I wanted to be.
And I mean, this is close to tennis player. It's giving Serena.
I give tennis player energy.
Yeah.
But also stand up, you're traveling alone. Tennis and stand up are both these like individual type, like emotional battles that I like feel I feel more comfortable in.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how like these things happen in your life and redirect you a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm very excited to see just like, I feel like you're going to take over the PR space and be such a voice.
Yeah.
And you're speaking from like a place that's needed sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're really transforming the landscape for it to be like fun and interesting and risky.
Yeah.
And now brands, they're leaning. Remember before, brands would be just like so safe.
Yeah.
And now with streaming services and stuff, they're like, we want crazier. We want dirtier. Mm-hmm. And that's really exciting.
I'm like such a, I hate when people call themselves a nerd. It's like the biggest pick me, like I'm a nerd. But I am such like a branding and marketing and advertisement nerd. Like, I just remember even when I was younger watching commercials and like if it evoked emotion in me and I like remembered it, like that was special to me. Like there's certain commercials right now off the top of my head that I watched when I was in second grade that I was like, whoa, like I just remembered it now. Like, and I think that brands kind of strayed away from that in the 2016, 2018 era because they just were grabbing influencers and being like, oh, they can push product. But it's like, why are we pushing this product? What is this product's story? Like, what do we want people to feel when they see this product rather than like, we just want them to buy it because blah, blah, blah is using it.
Yeah. And I think even when you like look at Sephora before, it used to be just like a couple big name brands.
Yeah.
And now because of TikTok, all of these brands are blowing up. So like there's never been a bigger opportunity for brands to come out of anywhere because you don't have to buy the like kind of advertising in the past. So like it's such a need for you to be like a person that teaches these brands.
Yeah.
Are we doing a master class? Are we doing a TED talk? What are we manifesting?
That's a goal of mine. I'm speaking on my first panel next week.
Yay! That's so exciting.
Which is cool. And I'm just going to Ad Week, Brand Week in Miami. And like, I'm one of the first, like, influencers that they're bringing there to, like, test it out. And I think it's such an amazing opportunity. And that's what I want to do more of. Like, one of my goals for next year is to speak on a panel at South by Southwest.
Yes.
And continuing to do, like, master classes, TED Talks. But you know, if they want to hit me up, I'm here.
We love a manifesting moment. Okay, we're going to wrap it up with a final game.
Okay.
You're doing amazing.
Thank you.
In hell. Be very comfortable in hell. I like that a lot. So we're going to play the seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly sins.
What are you greedy about?
This is kind of difficult because I'm greedy about a lot of things. Mm. No, I'm kidding. Maybe like my time like spent with like my friends, and like I'm not like a needy friend. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a group of people that you've like grown up with?
Yeah, from first grade.
Jelly.
Yeah.
Jealous.
It's okay.
I'm that girl who like went to like three different high schools and stuff. And also New York is
crazy. Yeah, but that makes you funny.
Yeah, I had to like learn how to fit in with new groups and shit.
Yeah.
I joined a high school middle of junior year. That was social suicide. Are you good at saying no to things?
No.
Same.
I just did it. I'm working on it.
Except that was good. That was good. Who are you envious of?
I don't know. I could go dark right now, but and like depressing. I'm envious of people who get to share their success with their moms because my mom passed away, and people who still have their moms in their lives. But on like a pop culture level, I'm envious of Oprah because I think that she has the best life. I love her. I'm obsessed with her. She just gets to talk to people for a living and just like chill at her beach house in Santa Barbara. Yeah. So there's like the depressing answer and the normal answer.
But I also think you've spoken about that.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry about your mom.
I hope you had nothing to do with it. No. When people say sorry, I'm just like, are you involved?
I feel like you never know exactly what to say. Like my husband, because he's old, both of his parents have passed away. I don't know why I knocked on wood, but
they're gone. By the way.
They're gone, but like just in case. He always talks about like how people act weird when you tell them.
Yeah.
But I feel like you speak on it, and I've seen your comments of people being like, oh my God, you're going through something similar that I'm going through. Because I feel like people get afraid to make people uncomfortable saying, like, even just now, you're like, I don't want to get too dark.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's your truth.
Yeah. And I go to grief. I'm a counselor at a grief camp. And
oh my God, that's amazing.
We learn a lot about like how to make it less taboo in conversation. And like, if this is a little tip, if anybody says like, oh, I lost my mom or I lost my parent or sibling, a great response to that would be like, wow, I can't even imagine that. Can you tell me something about your person? Like, can you tell me something about them? Rather than just being like, because it is awkward. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like that's a good tip if you're ever
I feel like I would burst into tears.
No.
She was amazing.
You get excited because you don't get to talk about them in conversation anymore.
And it's like it keeps their
alive.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, but they're like not. But yeah.
But they're not.
But they're not.
I do love finding humor in it. There is something there.
Like my friends will be like, oh fuck, like I'm meeting my mom for lunch, like she's not texting me back. I'm like, my mom dead ass has not answered me in 8 years. Like like, I think she needs a new ringtone.
She was a single mom with you.
Yes.
It sounds like she's a very incredible person.
Yeah. I mean, I have single mom syndrome, which is like, I don't ask for help. And I kind of like work my ass off. Like, I watched her like work for everything. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think people who are raised by single moms are one, hot as fuck, mm-hmm. and two, are successful.
I did date a guy who was like that.
Was he hot?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, see?
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean.
What are you gluttonous about? What do you overindulge in?
Reality TV. Sorry. And fast food.
What's your favorite fast food?
I'm the biggest fast food girl. Like, I would say McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. Like, I eat so poorly and then I, like, ask myself why I put on weight. But, I'm just like, yeah.
This is my thing, though. I'm always like, look, it's actually not that many calories.
No, yeah, I'm like the plain cheeseburger from McDonald's.
It's
like
not that many calories. But I guess like there's just,
Yeah.
Paige has gotten me onto McDonald's. Like,
oh, I'm obsessed.
After the Boston show, everyone's like, come out with us. And Paige looked at me and she's like, I already Ubered McDonald's to the hotel. We're not going anywhere.
Yeah, no.
And it's a fun like reward.
Yeah, TV and fast food.
What is the when's the last time you experienced extreme wrath or anger? Do you have an angry streak at all?
Yeah. Oh my God. I suffer.
You're Italian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Del Monte. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday. So I was supposed to be sent clothes for this week and for ad week. They never came.
Are they lost?
It's like still in FedEx because you know how FedEx is just like fucking crazy. I was supposed to get my hair and makeup done for an event. They both canceled last minute. I had to run to Zara to get an outfit. I was sweating in the line.
We've all been there.
That was wrath.
And then, of course, Zara, it's the longest line it's ever been.
It was so long.
And there's like three people fighting about a return and you're like, let's go!
I know. A girl came up to me and was like, can I take a TikTok with you? And I'm like, sweating.
Okay, TikTok is aggressive.
I was like, what do you want me to say? She was like, I don't know.
Why do you want me to say?
But I mean, the fact that anybody even knows who I am is such a blessing. But I was just like, I'm really having a bad day. But yeah, of course.
That does happen to me occasionally. Like, you're walking down the street and you're so in your own
head. In Zara line.
Yeah, that is like
holding shit,
full
sweating.
Trauma is in the Zara line. Yeah. And yeah, people will be like suddenly excited to see you when you're like so not excited about the moment within yourself.
Yeah.
So that's a fun little like meta.
Yeah, but I'm always honest. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna, like I'm having a fucking horrible day, but it's so nice to meet you.
I'll be like yelling in the phone with someone and someone's like, oh my God, how did I take a photo? I'm like, hey.
Yeah, I know exactly.
And I'm like, where the fuck is my Uber Eats? Okay, anyway, when was the last time you were a sloth or like lazy, stayed in bed all day?
Oh my God, all the fucking time. Like, I think that goes hand in hand with depression, but I love it. Probably when I was really hungover last weekend on Sunday. I don't think I left my apartment to walk my dog, but I don't think like besides that.
I'm a very like high functioning depression, as in like,
that's amazing.
I'm horizontal, but I'm on my computer like editing videos. But then when I'm not, I have the anxiety of like, should I be editing videos right now? When really I'm just exhausted.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think knowing when to like allow your body to rest is like massive. But then they've given me an inch, I take a mile. I'm like, I need to decompress.
My thing is, I'm either 150, like I'm out, I'm doing everything, or I'm zero. Like my husband will be like, what's up? And I'm like, So anyway, that's my own issues making. In my hell. When was the last time you let your pride or your ego get in the way of something?
I would say it goes back to yesterday with the wrath. Like, I felt like I was so frustrated and so angry and walking around like I'm having the worst time. But it's like, I'm in New York right now about to go to a Forbes event because, like, people are recognizing my career. Like, that is the biggest blessing in the world. Like, I was waitressing in December. Like, even just being here and not having to do traditional work is such a blessing. But I was letting it get to my head, being like, glam canceled, of course. It's like, what the fuck is glam? Like, I'm a bitch from New Hampshire. Like, this, like, you know what I mean? Like, this, it just gets to you.
The lifestyle's crazy because people will tell you once you start getting famous, like, well, you have to start doing this. It's like keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you turn to monster. Like, I went to a bridal. I was at a bridesmaid for my friend's wedding in Michigan, and all the like makeup people were starting, and I like showed them a photo of what I wanted, and the other girls, I'm like, do you know of inspo that you like? And they're like, oh, just do whatever to my face. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a monster. I remember when I used to just not
be
care
like that.
But then I'm like, this is what I'm going for.
It's like Kaya
today.
Gerber, and she's like, I don't know if we can do that.
Cindy Crawford when she was 18.
Yeah, like, so like this, they're like, no.
They're like I'm just trying to do I can barely do a
cat.
They're
like, I don't have needles. Like, I can't change your face fucking structure.
I can't give you chin.
They're like, we worked at Mac in Omaha. Like, this is not it.
Oh God, okay. Ooh, when was the last time you lusted over someone?
Okay. This person, I hope this person never watches this. I lusted over somebody that I shouldn't be lusting over.
Oh.
Naughty, and
naughty, naughty.
Yeah. It was probably 3 weeks ago.
Did you tell him?
Nope. And then, like, somebody else came to visit him. And so I was like, you know what?
The universe is.
And then there's this really hot guy in my building.
Cool.
Who has like a great ass.
Oh.
And I've been in the elevator with him a couple times and I'm like sucking in and like putting like my tongue on my like roof of my mouth so I don't look like I have a double chin. I'm like.
You crack me up so much.
Thank you.
What's your type?
If you asked my friends what my type is, they'd be like, she's all over the board. But I feel like everybody, the one common thing is like they have to be like really funny and emotionally intelligent, which like doesn't ever happen, which is why I'm single.
Which is like all my friends are like, oh, I want to hang out and meet some of your comic friends. And I'm like, I won't let you because like they'll ruin your life.
Yeah.
And I somehow married a comic. But like, you know, he's older. He's tired.
Yeah.
Final question for the little devils. When you're going through hell and you're in your dark time, what's your best advice to cope?
I would say, first and foremost, to not be so hard on yourself, because it's like, if you're being so fucking hard on yourself and you're going through this hard time, it's like, would you speak that way to a friend? Like, would you treat how you're treating yourself to somebody you love? The answer is probably not. So just try to treat yourself with the grace that you give the people that you love, because you should love yourself the most. And also, when I was really, really bad, I wake up in the morning and I have a journal and I just journal all of my intrusive thoughts, like get it all fucking down on paper and just kind of like take everything that's in my brain and put it on paper to get it out, to start my day without having all those intrusive thoughts in my head, and then do the same at the end of the day and see how things have changed and just show your growth throughout the day.
And you see the brain is so malleable.
Yeah, just like get that shit out.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah. Robin, where can people follow you, watch you? Give me all the deets.
Okay, cool. It's at Girl Boss Town, GirlBossTown on TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. I live in Boston, so it was originally like Girl Boston, but like nobody knows that, so they think I'm just like calling myself a girl boss, but like it works for the brand. And yeah, you guys can see me on your FYP.
Are you gonna come out with any merch or anything?
Yes.
Maybe. I'm so excited to see what evolves. Follow her. It is so fucking worth it. Thank you for coming to hell.
Thank you for having me.
You crushed it.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.